and always. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to make a comment. We have been reading or hearing this incredible drama concerning David. And I don't know if you remember last week when he was told that the sword will not depart from his house. And what do we find today? His son Absalom. And it's quite a sad story, actually. I found my heart being a little squeezed by that, especially at the end when he says, Absalom, hang on a minute, where is that? Oh, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? It was a poignant, poignant story there. Many of us, all of us, have had, or will have, difficult conversations with people. Does anyone had that recently? Particularly, by the way, in families. I don't know about you, but I have several in families. And it can be with friends or families, with workmates, and sometimes even strangers. It's never easy. And it can sometimes result in hurt feelings, offense taken, and misunderstandings. And a difficult conversation asks from both parties, that can be a challenge because it asks something of both parties. And if one party is not willing to participate in it, it may never be resolved, or not then. Today's gospel begins where last week's ended. So if you noticed in that first verse, it was repeated, I am the bread of heaven. That's just to put it in context. And we are witnesses to the continuation of a very difficult conversation, and one that is challenging, and one that Jesus is asking both his followers and the religious leaders to heed. It's getting more difficult, this conversation, and Jesus is hardly making it any easier on the crowds. He had begun by calling himself the bread of heaven, and he was misunderstood. And in response to that misunderstanding, because Jesus never misses a beat, he makes the claim both clearer and more offensive. I am, he says, the bread of heaven. And the crowds who had made such an effort to find Jesus after he had crossed the lake had begun to what? Grumble and complain. Not that any of us grumble and complain. Now, normally, or I've found, when people begin to complain about something we've said or a statement, a common response is to try and make this point more gently, more acceptable, less open to objection. Instead, Jesus makes the claim even more bold and offensive. The complaint was having to do with who Jesus said he was. And they concluded that he could not have possibly come from heaven because why? They knew his parents. They knew that kid. That he had lived among them. He couldn't possibly be what he was claiming. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we knew? So it goes back a couple of generations. They know the facts about him, but they don't really know him or where he's coming from. Familiarity is breeding contempt. So here's what happens, I think. When we get close or too close to something or someone, we begin to lose respect. We can suffer from that same difficulty, seeing beyond what we assume to be true about ourselves, our neighbors, immigrants, the poor, and who is saved and who's not saved, who's in, who's not in. And so we often cannot see the spiritual truths. And he's not buying it. Jesus is not buying it. He tells him to stop complaining. He says, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And he offers them a choice. Living bread or manna. Life or death. And this is the same choice he puts before us. Jesus defines the bread that he will give as his own flesh. Now, we've heard that for a couple thousand years. Can you imagine being a follower then who's never heard this? And they say, oh, and by the way, can you eat my flesh? Now, it's going to make people nervous. There's a significant debate about the meaning of my flesh. There's a debate. I think that it points probably most directly to Jesus' death on the cross rather than to the Eucharist. This is sacrificial language. The Torah required ritual sacrifices of animals, okay? And specifies in detail how they are to be prepared and how their flesh is to be used. Some flesh is to be burned on the altar, and other flesh is to be eaten. The gift of one's flesh is the most personal of all sacrifices a person can make on behalf of another. And in this instance, Jesus makes it on behalf of the world, not just Israel. His sacrifice is both voluntary and vicarious, which is taking the place of another person acting or serving as a substitute. The bread from heaven will give life to the world by dying for it. L. William Countryman, who is the author of The Mystical Way in the Fourth Gospel, has called this sort of repeated pattern in John's Gospel obnoxious discourse. Jesus seems intent on making his claims as difficult and offensive as possible. And as the conversation goes on, Jesus doesn't seem interested in making it easier to swallow. The bread of life from heaven is no free lunch. It will cost Jesus his life. And the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders is really a conflict about the leader's frame of reference, the box they had created for God. And Jesus' challenge is to step outside that box, step outside the context they have created for themselves and for ourselves, to question the narrative that we use to live in our own reality. Nothing much has changed. We too have our own frames of reference. The narratives we have to create in order to survive, in order to thrive, in order to live in the world. And sometimes we can use it to control or contain God. Other times it is used to exclude God. There is not a separation between the gift of God and the giver of life. And Jesus refuses to be intimidated by their understanding, our understanding, or our misunderstanding. All are invited to a new life, a larger life, a life that springs from but is not bound to the past to the past stories we create. We are invited. We're invited. It's an invitation to eat new bread. This is not a big ask. We know so much more than the listeners that day that feeding on the bread will bring us closer to the cross. So what does Jesus ask of us and for us? That we turn the other cheek. We love our enemies. We believe in the one who sent him. That we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then in Ephesians reading, We got it here. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, and slander. Together with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ lived us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice of God. When we live our lives only from our personal frame of reference, a set of ideas or facts that we accept and which will influence our behavior, our opinions, or decisions, we will live hungry, empty lives. Manna may fill our bellies, but it will leave our souls grumbling. And it's often the things we have left done or undone that can prevent us from eating the bread of life. It can be our way of thinking, believing, the way we see the world, ourselves, each other, that inhibit our desire and ability to be open to the bread of life, the gift of life. Our own history, pain, guilt, loss, regrets, can be so entrenched in our psyche that we believe we're not even hungry anymore. Famished for the bread of life that's eternal. And it's free for the asking. But there's a price. It doesn't have to be this way. There's this wonderful Episcopalian priest called Michael Marsh. And I couldn't say it any better. This is what he says. The table of God is set, and there's a place for each one of us. We are not destined to eat the manna the rest of our lives. Our frame of reference, our past, our history, neither earn us nor keep us from the bread of life. Rather, the living bread that has come down from heaven feeds each one of us. Every moment of every day, God invites us to eat new bread, to step out of the old context into a new way of living and being. And he goes on. God gives us bread from heaven, knowing that we are hungry. Our conflicts, our restlessness, our deep longings, our desire to love and be loved, our hunger pains by which the Father draws us to Jesus, the one who said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Holy bread for holy hunger. And this is the gift of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, we know you'll never fail us. And when you feed your people, there is always more than enough, an abundance and fullness. Help us to know your loving presence, to hear your teachings, and to live as you wish us to, so that we may be filled with your goodness and find our eternal home with you now and forever. Amen.